share the word. I'm just looking at my notes, they look terrifying. It's just amazing, you know, you prepare and you get your heart set on what God is going to say, and as you prepare and you prepare again, it's just like, oh, there's so much more. It's just like, come on, I've got to redo my notes. You may wonder why I like preaching with notes. I like preaching with notes, so I don't wander off. Because it's kind of like I've got a Genesis to Revelation book in front of me, and it's like rich in all the good things that God has for our lives. So much more. But anyway, good to be here with you this morning. Today is Pentecost Day. You know what Pentecost Day is, eh? Or Pentecost. It is the 50th day after the Easter weekend, the 50th day, and that is really the day the Holy Spirit came and manifested himself in the church. So let me read that portion of scripture for you so that you can get it, and that is in Acts 2, verse 1, that says, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly," I love the word suddenly, and I pray even suddenly for this morning that God will come suddenly. "There came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared on them and rested on each of them, and they were all filled, with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Pentecost Sunday is not an event. It may be an event, it may be something on the calendar, it may be a date that we look to and say, 50 days after the Easter weekend, there will come another day, and that is Pentecost Sunday. But it's really an invitation, it's an intervention of God, it's an initiation that God brings and pours out upon us as his people. We are no more perfected. We are no more perfected in our walk with God than through the Holy Spirit. You cannot find another way. You will not find another way. It doesn't matter how much you study and how good you are. You will never find another way of being full except that you are full of the Holy Spirit. I think it is more significant. The day is more significant than we think. Or shall I say, the initiation of God, or intervention of God is more significant than we would even think or believe. Have any of you ever been to a pit stop? And just by the way, do you know, sorry, this thing should be turned around, but anyway, I'm going to keep tripping over that point. How long does it take for a turnaround time in a Formula One racing? What is the shortest time? You're going to do it for me? You're going to whip it around? All right, that's good. Thank you. Anyone know? What is the shortest time in the pit stop? And we're talking about four new tires, a fuel up, a wash of your face, and your goggles, and all the other things that go with it. Settling the driver down into his seat, how long does that take? How much?
20 seconds.
Only more. 2.0. Okay. What is the best time? What is the best time? All right. It's actually 1.8 seconds. 1.8 seconds. And it all happens in the yellow box. You've got to come to the yellow box. If you miss it by a few millimeters, you're going to get the tire in your face. It's that important to be in the yellow box. It's important to be in the place where you can have your tires changed and refueled in 1.8 seconds. It's an amazing time if you think about it. It's less than a blink. If you had a blink, you'd miss it, the whole thing. Car stop, car go. That's it, even shorter than the time that I've actually used to speak those things. I pray this morning that we will have an intervention of God that will refuel us. But you've got to be in the box. You've got to be ready. You've got to be ready for the moment. It's important. It is important for us to have a fuel up. None of us are like God. None of us. We're not like God. We're not like Jesus. We're not like His Holy Spirit. I don't even think we understand Genesis 1, where it uses the term and says that in 1:26, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. But none of us are like that. So how do we get there? And I know there's a story behind the gospel, and I know there's a story behind Jesus dying on the cross for you, that you can become like Him. But we are not there. There are two things in the setting that I want to set out before us today to answer the question, why must the Holy Spirit be upon us? Why? You can't act your Christianity out without Him. You cannot even pretend your way through it. You cannot behave in any particular way except that the Holy Spirit be upon us. Here's the two things. We need to understand that there is nothing in our fallen image that is pleasing to God or acceptable to God. There's nothing of it. The gospel and nothing less than the power of the Holy Spirit can make us into disciples, can make us into any form of likeness to our Lord Jesus. We would wear ourselves out if we tried. We need the Holy Spirit. That would be the one reason for our setting, the why. Why the Holy Spirit? Because we're not like God. That's why. We are becoming. We are always in a frame of becoming. And does it mean that we are become? Have we ever gotten to the place where we become, where we can establish the stamp and put the stamp on our hearts and say, I have become like God, or I have become like Jesus? It is not a place that we achieve easily. And we will, because that is God's intention, and I'll talk to you a little more about that. The second reason for the setting of the Holy Spirit is simply this. We are overshadowed by a terrifying world. Our world is increasingly difficult to live out the Christian life. Agreed? If you think it was bad in the day when Jesus was there. It was bad in that day. The Romans were in charge. And it was a very difficult life to live. It's a very difficult life, even as a nominal religious person in that time. It was very difficult to live. And our world is becoming increasingly difficult. By comparison, the times of Jesus is much less than it is. The intensity of our time, the rising of lawlessness, has become a little bit more intent in our lives. It's difficult to live. That is why we need the Holy Spirit. There are deceitful spirits. It says in 1 Timothy 4, now the Spirit, and I know I didn't give you that, sorry. I didn't give you all of these scriptures because there's a number of them. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter days that some will depart as rebels. Christians, they will depart as rebels from the faith by deviating and devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and the teaching of demons. Terrifying. Lovers of self, 2 Timothy, in the last days. And I'm not going to relate the whole scripture to you, but in the last days we understand that there will come times of difficulty. And why will there be difficulty? Because we will become lovers of ourselves. And there are more things that we need to concern ourselves for. Lovers of ourselves, heartless, unpleasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, etc., etc. A time of deception. That is why we need the Holy Spirit. We are living in a time of deception. We need to be led. It's said in the scriptures that we are led by the Spirit of God. Those that are sons of God. And we need the leading of the Spirit of God upon our lives. It is a statement that Jesus makes. And it's one of the scariest statements that I could even preach about. Not even vaguely do I want to ever hear those words. But these are the words. These are the words. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? At the time of Jesus coming, will he find faith on earth? So what is God's response to all of these things? The fact that we are not like him, and the fact that our world is increasingly difficult. What is God's response? He says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit. That's his response. That's his answer to the question of our heart, why? Why do we need the Holy Spirit? It is because he said he would. He would give him to us. We need him. In the last days, as it shall be, declares the Lord, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Does that sound like what we're experiencing? A good question. But we don't have to answer it now. But you will receive power. In Acts 1 it says this, but in 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. There's a transformation. There's a transformation that happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that transformation is that you will be my witnesses. Now, I know that we struggle sometimes with being a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ because that means somehow that I've got to go and tell somebody about it. Isn't that so? But it is not just about evangelism. It is not just about telling people about Jesus. It's about being like Jesus. It's about being like Jesus. People will not be attracted to the church. They will not be attracted to a faith, to a group of believers if they do not see anything different from the world that we live in. There must be a difference. There must be a difference in my life. I must be able to identify myself in the image of Christ and what he looks like. And how do I get there? How do I get there without the Holy Spirit? There's no way that I can get there without the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit to give me direction, help, strength, courage, all the things that I need. It is impossible without the Holy Spirit to be a witness. To be a witness of the Christ that we are talking about. It is impossible to be that. Remember, John the Baptist said this in Luke. Any of you know John 3:16? You all know that? Do you know Luke 3:16? You don't know Luke 3:16. Not the same as John 3:16. And Luke 3:16 says this, I will baptize you with water, but the one who comes after me is mightier than I, whose strap of sandals I am not worthy to untie, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Do any of you understand Greek? Hardly. I do study it, and I love sometimes looking at the Greek understanding of the scriptures, because our Bible, the New Testament Bible, is actually translated from Greek. It was spoken in the time. It was the day of the language. It was the language of the day, and they spoke Greek. So the word baptize is the Greek word baptizo. Now, it sounds very much the same. But what does it mean? What does it mean when you really translate it into a language? And it's very difficult sometimes, and I think the translators battled through some of these things because they couldn't really explain these words in plain language that we understand every day. So what does it mean to be baptized? Now we all have the picture that you get down, put down in the water, and you are baptized. And in some kind of religions and whatever, they have a little sprinkling. They just sprinkle a few drops of water, and that's your baptism. No arguments, no fights. It's just something that they've grown into and to believe. But the word baptizo actually means to be whelmed. Now, it's a very bad English word. We don't even use it. It is a good English word, in fact. And from that, we get the word overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. And you know, you understand overwhelmed? You know what it means to be overwhelmed? Like just before the exam, you are overwhelmed. Just before you stand up and preach, you are overwhelmed. Just before you stand in the front of this congregation, yeah, you are overwhelmed. It means you are like baptized in almost a fear. You have this thing coming over you. But here's the picture. As a young boy, I often used to do this, especially when you go down to the river. You pick up a big rock and you throw it in the water, and what does it do? It gives you that glump, you know, when it hits the water. Now, if we had to do a slow motion, and just get that into a picture, what does it look like? The rock comes down, touches the water gives way. But within seconds, milliseconds, in a 1.8, or even less than a 1.8, in less than a 1.8, the water comes over the rock. It is whelmed. It means you have been submerged into. Now imagine this. Imagine this, that same picture. You as an individual, as a Christian, walking with Jesus, overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. That you fall upon Him, or you fall into Him. You fall literally into Him, and He overcomes you, overshadows, He surges over you. And from that moment on, you are wet. If I can use the term lightly, you are wet of the Holy Spirit. You are whelmed by the Holy Spirit. And that's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said of Himself. I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It's not a small thing. It is not something that we can just go past very easily. Totally submerged. Totally submerged. Something has to change when that happens, friends. Something has to change. Your life has to change. When you give your life to Christ, it is something that you experience, and the only way to enter in to the kingdom of God is to be born again, as the scripture says. Born again, that you become saved. How do you become saved? Look into the cross. That Jesus died for our sins, that Jesus took upon Himself all our sins, our iniquities. And that we can be forgiven of that. And for once, through all eternity, we can actually have presence into the holy presence of God. That we can come to a holy God. Just by the way, if you try and understand the word Holy Spirit, what do we mean, Holy Spirit? There was a time that they used to preach on it and say, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Wrong? It's not wrong. It's just a translation of a word. But Holy Spirit is probably more accurate because it speaks of God as a spirit. There was a time where we used to refer to the Spirit of God as it. When it comes upon you, you will be filled. Not it. And He's holy. And what does it mean to be holy? That there is absolutely no one like Him. There's absolutely no one like Him. He's totally separate. He's totally unique in who He is and what He represents. And He's the Holy Spirit of God. Beautiful pictures that we can try and imagine in our hearts. The Holy Spirit. It's really scary at times. John said this of the Holy Spirit. Well, Jesus said this in the book of John, John 14:16. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. Think about that for a moment. Let's get into the Word of God, and let's try and understand the Word of God from the perspective that God was giving it to us. That He will be with us forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you, and He will be in you. The words of Jesus. He dwells with you and will be in you. That unique being, the representation of a God that we hardly understand, dwells in me. He will be in me, and I will know Him. Maybe some of you are looking to me and saying, This doesn't feel real. This is what God's telling us, but the difference or the outcome is not the same. We don't feel the same. We don't feel that presence of God. We don't feel the Holy Spirit in us. And yet it is quite evident from Scripture that we should. That we should. In John 14, 26, it says this, the Comforter. And I'm going to give you an expanded version of it, what it actually means. The Greek word over there is that Parakletos. Parakletos. And what does that really mean? It means the Comforter, the Counselor, the Intercessor, the Helper, the Advocate, the Stand Alongside You, the Strengthener, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send you in my name. In my name and in my place. That you will no longer have Jesus in person with you, but you will have the Holy Spirit. And when he speaks of another, he's not speaking of another different kind of person. He's speaking of one exactly like he is. So if ever you wanted to walk with Jesus, you have the possibility of walking with him in the form of the Holy Spirit. And having him in you as part of your life, as part of your life. And I go on, and what will he do? He will represent me. He will act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall all things, because he will remind you and bring to your remembrance everything I told you. I'm sighing. I'm thinking to myself, God, help me that I will be such a representation of you that I will have all of this in me. So I'm going to bring this message to a close. We ought to be, I'm sure there are experiences that we need to become more, that there will be times of more. Being filled with the Spirit, some of you have experienced being filled with the Spirit. It's quite a difference in your life, quite a change to your life. But does it end there? Does it end there? I could ask the question this morning and say, how many of you speak in tongues? How many of you are filled with the Spirit? And what does it mean? And how do you become filled with the Spirit? What do you do? How can I come to you and say, be filled with the Spirit? What must you do, Mara? Pray. That's a good, quick answer. I need to pray to be filled with the Spirit. It's the right answer. It's not wrong. It's the right answer. Be filled with the Spirit. I used an illustration once of a windmill. Does a windmill ever look for the wind? It waits for the wind. Because a windmill only becomes a windmill when the wind blows. A sailing ship sails out, ready for what? The wind. Ready for the wind. Are you ready for the wind? Are you ready for the Holy Spirit? Is it something part of your life? Is it a unique part of your prayer life? All right. We need to, and I've got two 5 rand coins here in my pocket. Now, even if I tried with all any skill that I might have, I couldn't make a 5 rand coin. I couldn't. Do you know, have you seen closely? Have you looked at it very closely? Do you want to see on the rim of that, that there's actually writing in the rim? Do you know what it says there? S-A-R-B. South African Reserve Bank, on the rim. And look at it, if you want. You want to see it? You pass it around. And wherever it gets stuck, you can have it. I'll give you 5 rand. It's a 5 rand preach. There's writing on the rim. Do you know who actually made that 5 rand coin? The guy's name, obviously, could be Albert, Alfred, Steve. His name starts with an A, my brother. He's got his little inscription there underneath his creation called ALS. I don't know who ALS is. Might be a good idea to find out who actually made that. But can you understand for me today that there's no way in our lives that we could make that minted coin? And there's a big happening behind the whole thing of being a minted coin. That image, it has an image on it. It's an important image, because it actually tells us something about that 5 rand coin. All right. You can keep that 5 rand if it lands by you. I don't mind giving it away. You'll put it in the offering box next year. Okay. All right. Return to sender. Okay. There's so much in the design. There's so much in the creation. There's so much in even the blank. That blank 5 rand coin, before it becomes a 5 rand coin, is a blank. There's so much in it. There's so much detail in it. There's so much detail in the striking of the coin. In Afrikaans, it's hulle het mint geslaan. It is hit. There's an impression on it. You can't even do that even with a hammer. None of us have the power enough to do it with a hammer. Do you know what pressure they put on that coin? Between 50 and 100 tons per square inch. 50 and 100 tons. Any of you pick up a ton? Just one ton? Half a ton? 20 kilograms? Hard work. 50 tons, at least 50 tons per square inch. It's bigger than a square inch. Do you know what inches are? Some of you have forgotten. You don't even know what inches. Okay, a couple of centimeters. And then there's quality control. And I think each one of these things, the design, the creation, the blanking, the striking, and the quality control belong to the Holy Spirit. Because that is what God does with us. He marks us. There's a lovely scripture in 1 Thessalonians 1, and it says this, that you became imitators of us and of the Lord. This is Paul speaking. You became imitators of us and the Lord. The word imitators is the word in Greek, mimetes, a mimic. Mimetes, the mimic. You became a mimic of us and the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. What is the joy of the Holy Spirit in much affliction? Can you think about it? Try and translate that into an experience that the Holy Spirit has joy in your affliction, or that there is Holy Spirit joy over your affliction. Your affliction is nothing less than a furnace. Or the pressure of 100 tons or 50 tons pressure on your life to make an image that is stamped in your life. And then it goes on in that same scripture and it says this. Let me just read it again for you. You received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. And you became, so that you became an example. So that you became an example. That word example there is quite an important word. Because it's exactly that. You become a stamped image. A stamped image. An impression. You become an impression. Let me show you one who has an impression that we ascribe to. In Hebrews 1 verse 3, it says this, He is Christ. He is the radiance. He is the impression. He is the stamped impression of the glory of God. He's the bright of the brightness. He's the brilliance of the brilliant. He's a perfect reflection of the light of all light. He's the sole and exact expression of his Father. Jesus, the sole and exact expression of his Father. Now, I would say to you, just by the liberty of words, that if we're not exactly like Jesus, we can be somewhat counterfeit. If I took that five rand coin and I scratched out the five and I put a 6 rand there, you would know it immediately. You would know it's not right. If I gave you an 11 rand note, you would look at it and say, this is not real. But you only have a 10 rand. And so we could go on. There's a counterfeit. The exact image. When you see Jesus, you'll have absolutely no doubt whose son he is. No doubt. Not 50 shades of gray, or blue, or green, or any other thing. And I know 50 shades of gray is a movie, a bad movie, apparently. Never seen it, but it's apparently a bad movie. And there are 50 different wives, I think. That's what they're meant to say like that. But anyway, it's a bad movie. No 50 shades of gray. So when you look at Jesus, should there be any doubt whose son we are? And how do you become that? How do you become that, my friend? 100 tons of the Holy Spirit impressing upon you that you will bear the image of Christ. Not just modernists, all of us, each one of us, that we will bear the image of Christ. I will not do justice to talking to you about everything of the Holy Spirit. Every page I find in the New Testament, there's something of the Spirit of God. Something of the Spirit of God. Not without him, you cannot do anything. You will not become like Jesus. You will not be a Christian. You will not bear the image of our God. So how do I encourage you to know that you will be filled with the Spirit? That you will be baptized, that you will be wound by the Spirit, that you will be baptized by the Spirit. You say to me, is this possible? Can I have it every day? Should I have it every day? Should I have it every day? Someone has once said in a preach, and I know it may like a right sounding application, like we leak. I want to blot that out. The Holy Spirit is not diminished. The Holy Spirit is not diminished. We don't receive the Holy Spirit in portions. Little ones that receive the Holy Spirit do not receive a little Holy Spirit. They have the Holy Spirit. All of him. When you receive the Holy Spirit, did you receive a portion of the Holy Spirit? Oh, I'm just a little bit like Jesus. Or I'm just a little bit like I'm supposed to be. That I can live on the edge and not feel God's eyes burning over me, yearning for me. The song we sing, no walls in my heart. There are no walls in my heart. There's no place that I want to hide from the Spirit of God. I don't want to hide from his presence. I want to be like Jesus. Me too. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like him. I don't want to preach good preachers. I want to be like Jesus and speak out of the heart of knowing him and speak out of the heart of longing for him and yearning for his presence and his love in my life. So what do? I can't make it difficult because Jesus never did. He said, ask. Ask. You know the scripture that says, ask, knock. door will be opened. Ask. And he says, you fathers, Father's Day next week, you fathers, you earthly fathers, you know how to give good gifts to your children. And then Jesus goes on and he says, how much more will the Father give you the Holy Spirit? Because you ask him. It's not something that you have to beg for. Pentecost is not an event that a lot came and went. That day has gone, long gone. But every day can be Pentecost. Every day the Holy Spirit can come. Every day. How often do you think we need to be filled? If you were a Formula One driver, how many times do you need to go around the track before you need to get back in the box? That's why I use the illustration. You need to get back in the box. You need to get back in the box. Get back in the box. And the words that is often spoken to them as they're driving, they've got earphones on their ear, they can hear exactly what's going on in the place where they're getting ready. And the word is box, 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 box. And whether he likes it or not, he gets in the box. And he's there in his little yellow square. And in 1.8 seconds, he goes out of the box. And I'm not trying to make a reference to the Holy Spirit being something that comes in a little box or puts us out there. I'm not a surfer. You may have noticed. But it doesn't matter how good a surfer you are. It doesn't matter how good a surfer you are. You can have the best board. You can have the fastest board. You can have everything you need to be a surfer. But you can actually get out on the ocean there and you can sit there. You're not surfing, you're just sitting. What do you need? You need a wave. You need a wave. The things that surfers die for is the wave. And the wave is not a wave. And I've tried to catch waves with my board, you know, just a boogie board. What do they call them? Boogie boards. I've tried to catch waves with boogie boards. But you can miss the wave. How many have you tried it? And you paddle your life out. And the wave just washes over you or dumps you. I don't know what all these terminologies are. There's like some wicked terminology when it happens when you actually get dumped by a wave. Anyway. It's the surge that comes with the wave. And you've got to catch the surge. Friends, I want to encourage you today to be filled with the Spirit every day. To be waiting. Why did you speak about it? Mike spoke about it last week, about the waiting. What are you waiting for? Jesus said, wait until you receive the Holy Spirit. Wait. But he's come. He's come. The day of Pentecost has come. He's here. He's arrived. So every day, every moment, every single moment of your life, you can be filled with the Spirit. And I know at times it's like, what do I do? Do I have to pray? You know, our days are evil, friends. And the answer that God gave us was, he will fill us with the Spirit in the last days. How do I become like Jesus? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Wait, ask, seek, knock, be filled. The actual original text says, be being filled with the Spirit of God. Now, what does that mean in your everyday language? It means every day. Every moment of every day. It's not a time and a place that you can actually say, well, this is exclusive for Sunday, or this is exclusive for my prayer time, or this. Every moment, ask him. Ask him. At times, the Holy Spirit will bring a response in your flesh. You'll feel the goosebumps. You know what I'm saying? You'll feel the presence of the Lord. When we come into our worship time, it's an ideal opportunity to know and to find the presence of God. I'll stop. You hear what I'm saying, guys? Do you understand what I'm saying? It may be scary to some of you, and I think that could be an answer for some of us. We're afraid of it. The Holy Spirit is like too much. God's not scared of you having too much. God's not afraid of that. So I'm going to ask, before I close this meeting, I'm going to ask you a big question. And the big question is this: do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Every one of you.